We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
And welcome back to our show. I am once again broadcasting from my downtown apartment in downtown New Orleans. And I guess at this moment, I have one of the best broadcast studios in America. I've got a beautiful area here with a big screen TV, got a bistro table over here by the window that overlooks the rooftops of the French Quarter. I've got a full kitchen behind me, a bathroom, and an adjoining bedroom. So this is one hell of a studio. Anyway, I want to thank Butch Landry and Todd Vanassis and those who set this up for me to do the show from here. The main thing for me right now is to keep my leg elevated. Maybe I can get back to the studio tomorrow. I'm hoping so. It is a beautiful Ash Wednesday. And if you do see people walking around with what appears to be a smudge on their forehead, it's just that they went to get ashes at church. And how ironic it is that yesterday, the debauchery of yesterday, now where you went may not have had a lot of debauchery, but in general, there's a lot of debauchery associated with Mardi Gras, especially downtown in the French Quarter. But all that debauchery associated with Mardi Gras is actually the beginning of Lent. It's the big blowout, the big sinful, if you will, the big sinful blowout before the sacrificial season of Lent on the Christian calendar for many Christians and of course for Catholics and Episcopals. And I think maybe Lutherans as well, but you can correct me if I'm wrong there. But this is the most solemn time on the calendar, and it leads to the most joyous time on the Christian calendar, which is Easter. And, you know, when you think about Mardi Gras being late, when we saw that Mardi Gras was going to be March the 5th, people think, oh, it's going to be nice and warm and we're going to have a lot of spring breakers here. I don't think the cooler weather kept anybody away. But it wasn't exactly spring-like yesterday, especially if you started out earlier in the day. But I sat here and watched the parades on TV. And, it was fun seeing everybody and I hear the sound of the parades. I don't have, like, any kind of panoramic view from my apartment, but I see a side street area of St. Charles where the parades are rolling by, and I can hear them, and also a little portion of Canal Street as well. If you're just tuning in, let me bring you up to date on a couple of things that we've been talking about. But before I do that, coming up later this hour, I want to share with you an interview. It's a brief interview that I did with Trace Adkins. Trace Adkins is the country music star that was part of the Orfeescapade. He was one of the performers, and he also rode in the parade. And I had a chance to meet him and talk to him Monday before his ride and before his performance. And this is his first Mardi Gras. So he had interesting things to say about that. Also, he had some interesting things to say about the song Arlington, which was a Trace Adkins song that drew a lot of criticism. The song is about being buried at Arlington National Cemetery in the D.C. area. And some of the parents of kids who were serving in Iraq were very offended by this song, by this, I would say, arguably, very, very patriotic American. Because if you read up or if you know anything about Trace Adkins, you know this is one patriotic and proud American. So he's got an interesting answer to the criticism, all of that coming up later this half hour. We have been talking about Mardi Gras, and yesterday, the end of Mardi Gras, I wasn't there. I've never been there at midnight when the police tell you to go home. You know, they've got the bullhorn, the loudspeaker, and they go down from the beginning of Bourbon and Canal, they head down Canal Street, and they tell everybody that Mardi Gras is over, and this is what it sounds like. And so here's my question. I've never been there, but do you really go home? Do you really leave? Or do you just duck into a bar and when the police pass, then you come back out and party? Look, I think it's a fun symbolic thing, and I don't think it's disrespectful of the police if you don't really go home. Mayor Cantrell was there walking along with the police officers clearing out Bourbon Street. But it's just a symbolic tradition that we have. And, you know, I had a chance to – we have a new general manager at our radio station, and – I had a chance to talk a little bit to his wife at Orfeescapade. We were at the same table with Noel Norman as well. And thanks, Stuhl, for bringing really some really nice wine. I had a few sips of some really quality red wine that Newell brought, which was really nice. But I had a chance to hear this person who saw Mardi Gras, was seeing Mardi Gras for the first time. And this was Monday night, so she hadn't seen Mardi Gras Day yet. But she was talking about Mardi Gras. And it was really inspiring hearing her talk about Mardi Gras. They're moving from Dallas. And to hear her talk about the city and Mardi Gras and the things that you and I so often take for granted are just so wonderful in the eyes of those who see it for the first time. And it's through their eyes that make us rekindle our love for this city. And the little things about, oh yeah, well that's true. I mean, she was talking about Mardi Gras and the little things that she was talking about, like, I can't believe this happened and this happened. This would never happen in Dallas. And you know, New Orleans is, she's from London. And she was just talking about how European New Orleans is compared to Dallas. And she's right about that. So it's always fun to see Mardi Gras through the eyes of somebody who is seeing it for the first time. And as I said, Trace Adkins saw it for the first time. So he said some very, very complimentary things about the city. I wrote an op-ed blog for our website, WWL.com. It's also on the Scoot page. And it will be on Facebook later. It may be on Facebook now. If it's not on Facebook now, it will be on Facebook later on WWL Radio. Also, I'll post it on my Scoot on the Air Facebook page. Also, the Scoot Report, a video is up there on our Facebook page as well. But the video is about the idea that, you know, Mardi Gras really is a unique thing to New Orleans. Anyway, that's what the op-ed blog is about. You can read that and share it with others. If you do want to join us with a comment this afternoon, our number is 260-1870, and our text is 870-870. So this is a national report that went out from CBS News from reporter Pam Coulter, and this is one observation of one of the prominent costumes for Mardi Gras this year.
The Mardi Gras celebration has shown New Orleans is still not over the blown call that kept the Saints from going to the Super Bowl. Among the Fat Tuesday costumes seen in the city are blind referees and yellow penalty flags. After the Saints game against the Rams, NFL officials acknowledged flags should have been thrown when a Rams defensive back leveled a Saints receiver with a helmet-to-helmet hit. Pam Coulter, CBS News.
I saw a lot of that, and if you were out yesterday, I know you saw a lot of that as well. I saw a lot of people wearing dark glasses, and they had the canes. I guess that's what you call them, the poles, the canes that visually impaired people use to feel their way down the street. And I'm hoping that nobody found that to be somehow offensive to the blind. Or somehow disrespectful to the blind. I hope nobody came up with that idea, but the politically correct world we live in today, I wouldn't be surprised if there was criticism of that, but I hope not. Also, we've been talking about Michael Jackson and the HBO documentary Leaving Neverland. And these two guys who are older now give these graphic details about how Michael Jackson convinced them to you know, mess around sexually with each other and with them. And it's really creepy. If you haven't seen the special, take a look at it. I saw part of it last night. I recorded it, so I'll see the rest of it soon. We've also been talking about another related story to that, R. Kelly being charged with having sex with underage girls. Rhythm and blues singer R. Kelly, this is not the first time there's been this accusation. He sat down with CBS reporter and anchor Gail King from CBS This Morning, and here's part of the interview where he really gets very, very emotional.
I didn't do this stuff. This is not me. I'm fighting for my life. Y'all killing me with this. I gave y'all 30 years of my career.
Robert.
30 years of my career. Y'all trying to kill me. You killing me, man. This is not about music. I'm trying to have a relationship with my kids, and I can't do it.
Well,
I just don't want to believe the truth. You don't want to believe it.
I guess we don't really know what the truth is, do we? But this is the part. Okay, well, there was another little part that you know, made me think that he's, you know, really covering up. He made the mistake of saying at one point in the interview that when he was charged with having underage girl, he said, I beat that charge. I beat that case. if you beat the case, doesn't that kind of imply that you did it and you got away with it? I mean, that's the way I interpret that. But here's what else he said about parents that basically handed their daughters over to R. Kelly.
What kind of father, what kind of mother will sell their daughter to a man?
Who did that?
How come it was okay for me to see them until they wasn't getting no money from it?
You're saying the parents handed their daughters, Azurel and Jocelyn, over to you? Is that what you're saying to us?
Absolutely. Are the cameras still going?
Yes.
Absolutely.
So R. Kelly is making himself seem like he's the victim, trying to make you think that he's the victim in all of this. Parents will do this sort of thing because it vicariously puts them in touch with the star. They'll use their kids to do that. But, I mean, even so, I mean, if a father offers you his daughter and you pay him for the daughter and then you stop paying him and then he doesn't bring the daughter around anymore, you don't think there's going to be repercussions from that? And the first mistake you made was accepting the daughter for the money. I mean, giving him money for the daughter. Again, this is just, it is so mind-boggling to me. If you want to join us with your comment, our number is 260-1870, and our text is 870-870. If you're on hold, hang on. It is just a beautiful Wednesday afternoon. Very pleasant temperatures. It's going to be warming up, and another chance of rain not until, I guess, the weekend. But, hey, it's a beautiful, sunny Wednesday afternoon. I'm Scoot. We'll be back on WWL. Oh, yes, it is a beautiful Wednesday afternoon, and I hope you're feeling okay today. Anybody that was on Bourbon Street until midnight last night, I can't imagine that they're feeling that great today. Here's a text that says, Scoot, saw Leaving Neverland, that is a HBO documentary about Michael Jackson. The two guys are totally believable, very disturbing, heartbreaking, gut-wrenching. It is. It really is. The way Michael Jackson used his position of power to lure them into sex, it seems so believable. And it's just, it's so, I guess, creepy is just the best way to describe it. It's just creepy. From Mandeville, Linda, thanks for hanging on. You're on WWL.
Hey, Scoot, how are you?
I'm good.
I remember you back from the Crew of Underwear.
Yeah, that goes back a few years, doesn't it?
Yeah, it doesn't. I was there.
Do you remember what you wore?
I remember I had underwear on my head.
Yeah, okay, well, that's good, yeah. See, it wasn't the salacious thing that a lot of people would think, you know? I mean, we had fun, and I think the premise was, I got on the air one day before Mardi Gras, and I said, you know, if you can't parade in your underwear on Mardi Gras Day, when can you? And so that kind of led to the Crew of Underwear.
Yes, it was fun. But I wanted to tell you, I was there at Mardi Gras early 80s. It might have been 80, 81 when the street cleaners came. It was a beautiful day like today, and we went out with a group of friends, and we all were in costume. I think I was a clown. Somebody was a devil, and they were playing the part. And we weren't together, boyfriend, girlfriend. It was just a group. And we had the best time, and we were in the quarter all day. All of a sudden, I'm standing in the quarter, and it's midnight. And here come the street cleaners and the police telling you to get off the street. So I had a hotel room at the Marriott that I split with a friend of mine, not the friends I was with. So I get there, midnight. He comes. And the good story is the next morning. It was a beautiful day on Mardi Gras. So I go in the Marriott, which is all enclosed. The parking lot is enclosed. I couldn't even see outside. I drive outside. I have my work clothes. I'm going to work. It's pouring. People are in umbrellas. They have suits on. They're going to work. It's like a totally different place. It was like, what happened to Mardi Gras? Totally clean. Just, I went inside the Marriott. It was Mardi Gras. I came out. It was just a day to go to work.
Boy, for everybody else around the country, yesterday was a day to go to work. And if you're involved in a business that has offices around the country, you know, they can't call the New Orleans office because it's Mardi Gras Day.
Right. It was so different to drive out of that. And it, the rain, and it was gray, and everybody was in dark clothes, and Mardi Gras
I guess in a way, Linda, it was kind of eerie, because it was almost like this whole thing that you just witnessed never happened.
Exactly. It was fun. Wow. That was probably my best Mardi Gras. But I was there when the street cleaners came. I think I was standing there by myself. I don't even remember. I just went to the Marriott.
Linda, I appreciate you sharing the story with us, and thanks for listening. And let's see, Mark, you're on WWL. Good afternoon.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm good.
I had the phone on speaker. Let me say something. Give me a minute. You remember a couple of months ago you were talking about some song that was banned by NCAA and NFL because the guy is a convicted pedophile and he's in jail?
Yeah, that was a Gary Glitter, Rock and Roll Part 2.
Yeah.
I asked the question, should it be banned from these states? I don't know whether I think there were some cases where it was banned, but it wasn't banned by the NFL.
You were supportive of that. You know, I think that ought to be banned.
Yeah.
Okay, so look, my question is this. Should
I know where you're
R.
going.
Kelly's
Go ahead.
Music, yeah, should R. Kelly be banned and Michael Jackson? And how about movies that are going to continue to make money for Harvey Weinstein and Kevin Spacey and all these people who are involved in the entertainment business? I mean, should those things be banned?
Well, I mean, it's definitely up for discussion. Harvey Weinstein, in the movies that he benefits from, there were so many other people involved that he's not as involved in the movie as R. Kelly is in the song, or as Gary Glitter was in the song Rock and Roll Part 2. But I understand the point you're making. I really prefer the audience to make the decision. I really prefer the marketplace to decide rather than ban something. But if I had a choice, I don't think the government should ban these things. I think that if R. Kelly is guilty of this, and it sounds like he did it to me, but if he's guilty, Gary Glitter was found guilty. So I am for banning Gary Glitter's music. If the same is true of R. Kelly, I am for banning R. Kelly's music. So I'm not sure what your point is.
Well, the point is, I want to know how you feel about this.
I just told you.
Because you were supportive. I know you were supportive of banning Gary Glitter.
So you think that I would...
I guess the difference is that Gary Glitter is convicted and these other guys are just accused.
Oh, that's right. Well, that's right.
So if they're convicted, what do you
absolutely
think? How are you gonna convict Michael Jackson?
Well, Michael Jackson was not convicted. He was tried. He was not convicted. He's dead. So nothing can be done about that. He paid money. So there was I think there's always something suspicious when somebody pays a lot of money to end a trial.
Okay, I just wanted to know how you come down on that. That's all.
All right. Well, I appreciate the call. I've got news coming up. But yeah, I would be very much in favor if R. Kelly is guilty. I would be very much in favor of banning R. Kelly music. I don't think the government should do that, but I think the outlets that have the ability to say this is what we're going to present, that they should not play the music. That would be my suggestion. I don't think the Bill Cosby Show should be running anywhere, and it's on in reruns. I forget which one of the networks it is, but it's on in reruns. Based on Bill Cosby and what he's done, I think everything that Bill Cosby did should be banned. My opinion. This is country superstar Trace Adkins. He's more old school, you know, he's more traditional country, not country western, but he's more traditional modern country than pop modern country, if that makes any sense. He was one of the performers at the Orpheuscapade Monday night at the Montreal Convention Center at the end of the Orpheus Parade. Guy's got one incredible voice. And if you see the video interview that I did, just did a brief interview with him. If you see the video interview that I did with him, you can see how big he is. I mean, I'm not a big guy. I mean, I admit that. Most people are taller than me. But this guy's huge. So I asked Trace Adkins. This was on the afternoon before he was going to ride in Orpheus. And this was his first Mardi Gras. So here's what he had to say about Mardi Gras. Listen carefully to what he says, because I think what he says is so true.
This is my first time to be a part of Mardi Gras like this. And it's such a team and the community. It just, you know, it's really unique. You know, I don't think there's any other event anywhere in the country in any other city that compares to this. It's
It's good to hear that from you, because we know that, those of us who are here, and we say, like, well, you know, this couldn't be done anywhere else. And there are things that we do, like celebrate a Saints victory or something like that. There are things that we do here that are different in other places.
Yeah, I travel all over this country. I've been to all the big cities in this country, and I just don't know of anything else that compares to this. I mean, no other city comes together like this for one seminal event. You know, I've never seen it. It's unique to Louisiana, unique to New Orleans.
Yeah, he's actually from Louisiana, a very small town in the northwest corner, close to Shreveport. So at one point, I kind of accused him of being more of a Texan than being from Louisiana, and he kind of agreed with me. There was a controversy involving his song Arlington, which is about being buried at the Arlington National Cemetery. And I asked him about that controversy. His answer was interesting. I respected it. We'll play that for you coming up in the next break. If you want to join us with a comment, our number is 260-1870, and our text is 870-870. Trace Atkins is a very, very patriotic American. And while, you know, you don't have to be a conservative to be a patriotic American, he's a conservative and a very patriotic American, and he does a lot for the Republican Party. And that also led to a question about political discourse in America. I don't know if we have that cut, but that is included in the entire interview, which you can find on the Scoot page. Simply go to our website, WWL.com. There's a menu bar at the top. Click on shows and then click on my pick, and you'll find the interview right there. Also, I wrote an op-ed blog about how Mardi Gras is unique to New Orleans. And I agree with Trace Atkins, and that inspired me to write this blog, which is also on our website, WWL.com. We'll have it on Facebook in just a little while. And let's see, where are we going? I'm still doing the show from my apartment, so we don't have the basic equipment that we have back at the studio. Okay, let's go to Lloyd and Kenner. Lloyd, you're on WWL. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Scoot. Glad you're doing better and back with us. I'll listen to you every day.
Thanks, appreciate it.
My comment was that Arlie Kelly made a comment as of the parent sending their kid to him. As a family man, we should understand that he is down on that payment, child support and stuff like that. Yeah. I think he should go to jail for making that comment, because he should know better.
And, yeah, that's a good. I mean, I think he's down. I think he's down like $160,000 in child support or something ridiculous like that.
Correct. So a man of character, and he knew that. He's saying the parents sent him to him. Well, I think that is completely wrong for what he did. Why didn't he send the kid back to their parent? He's a parent. Instead of doing what he's allegedly accused of.
Yeah. I think that's a good point, Lloyd. Listen, I appreciate your call, and I'm glad you're part of our afternoon audience.
Okay, thank you.
All right, Lloyd, thanks. If you want to join us, 260-1870, and our text is 870-870. Here's a text that says, what's wrong with being a Texan? Well, nothing. But if you live in northwest Louisiana or in central to northwest Louisiana, you're more of a Texan than you are a Louisianian in terms of just your culture. I wasn't saying there's anything wrong with being a Texan. Here is a text that says, you're a joke. Okay, I suggest that you try to prove that. Here's a text that says, while I agree Bill Cosby is a POS, you cannot punish the rest of the cast and their money because of his actions. And, you know, that's an interesting point. Because my reaction is on the level of Bill Cosby and his actions and his show is on. Well, first of all, I don't know how anybody can watch The Cosby Show today knowing what we know today about that man. And it is true. But Bill Cosby really was deceptive and really ruined it for everybody that he worked with. It's not their fault. It's his fault. But I just think based on his actions, the Bill Cosby Show should be banned. I mean, it's my opinion. You can disagree with that. I don't think the government should do it. I just think that it's something that if you are a broadcast outlet or if you're a cable outlet, I think showing the Cosby Show is a mistake. Okay, so you know this is Lent. This is the time of year when you give up something. You're supposed to give up something for Lent. 40 days of sacrificing something. If you want to join us with a comment, our number is 260-1870, and our text is 870-870. So I thought we would take this song from KC and the Sunshine Band and dedicate this to those of you who are in the process of, I mean, because you kind of sometimes have to think about what you're, you know, giving up for Lent. Anyway, this song's for you. I'm Scoot. We'll be back on WWL. Again, it's a song from the standpoint of somebody who was killed in war and was buried at Arlington. This song stirred controversy because there were loved ones of people serving in the Middle East in war that thought this song was inappropriate. And I'm assuming they took offense with the idea that I'm one of the chosen ones. I made it to Arlington. And I asked Trace Atkins about this in my brief conversation with him, and here's part of what he had to say.
Yeah, and it's a true story. You know, the guy that the song was written about, I had an opportunity to meet with him and his family before we released the song and to get their blessing. And, you know, I just felt like when I got his blessing, I didn't need anybody else's blessing. And the song was written about him and his story. And so, you know, yeah, there were a few people that the song made uncomfortable, but I don't think anybody really thought I was glamorizing it. Being buried in Arlington. It is an honorable thing, but, you know.
Well, there was controversy about it, and there were some reports that Trace Atkins actually told stations not to play it. I don't see, maybe that's not even true based on what he told me just the other day. Ian, let me know if we have that. Let me know in my ear if we have the part of the interview with him where he talks about political discourse. Okay, we got that? Okay, so I asked Trace Atkins, I said, look, you're a Republican, and you do a lot for the Republican Party, and you're a conservative American. I said, you and I may not agree on everything, but can't we agree that, first of all, you and I are Americans first? And then I asked him about what he thinks of political discourse today.
Oh, my God, it's just toxic. It really is. I mean, I don't even talk about it anymore because it's just, you just can't win. I mean, it's just somebody's going to be infuriated and people are going to just, you know, take it so seriously that they're not going to speak to you again. So I just stay away from it. It's just gotten so toxic and poisonous.
Well, and if you've noticed the show this afternoon, there's a lot going on in politics. And there's a lot that I haven't been able to talk about because I haven't been here for a few days. And by the way, I want to thank Bob Mitchell for sitting in while I was having surgery and out last week, but really glad to be back. It's different stuff every day, but it has the same tone to it, and I'm sick of it. So we've spent time talking about Mardi Gras, positive stories about police officers during Mardi Gras, the fact that Mardi Gras is uniquely a New Orleans experience because this could not happen this way in any other city. And there are reasons for that, which I explain in the blog that I wrote for our website. And I'll post it on Facebook in a little while. We talked about R. Kelly. We talked about Michael Jackson. We're talking about Trace Atkins. So I am looking for reasons, and I can't do it every day. But every afternoon from 1 to 4, I'm looking for reasons to take a break from some of the most serious, spiteful, political BS that we have to deal with. Do we have to deal with every day? Because again, it's different every day, but it's the same tone, it's the same stuff. And man, at some point you just get so tired of it. So I agree with Trace Atkins on that. From St. Bernard, Charlene, you're on WWL.
Hi, Scoot. First time caller. I've listened to you my whole life.
You're a sweetheart.
But I got to tell you, I watched the entire Michael Jackson thing in two parts and then also the documentary with Oprah Winfrey following that.
Uh-huh.
And I tell you, I agree with you. It's very creepy, and I really felt almost sick after I watched it. I just had this sick feeling in the pit of my stomach, and you know what
know.
I'm talking about when you get that.
I know. Yep.
And I know after watching these two guys, I can read people well. This man did this to these kids when they were little kids. And, you know, as a parent, I think these parents got sucked into it too. Not that I'm saying that's right or wrong. I see how they got sucked into it. But your first job as a parent, who would let their 7 and 10 year old kids on the first night of meeting this man, whether he's Michael Jackson or, you know what I'm saying, Jack the Ripper, would let them go and sleep in his room with him?
Well,
common sense going out the window.
You know, but Charlene, don't you think that's because the parents were starstruck and that allowing their child to go off with Michael Jackson somehow bonded them as an adult with Michael Jackson?
Yes, and Oprah talked about this grooming process that happens with people who do this to kids, but she mentioned that because of the way he presented himself, even to the public with the Neverland, I'm bringing all these children in here to have a good time and making it sugarcoating the whole thing and mesmerizing people with this, that deep down people think, he would never do this to a child. He's Michael Jackson, you know, he's too big. And back then, you remember, because we've been around a while, Michael Jackson was huge at this time.
Yeah.
Huge.
And Charlene, it's so sad that there are people who seek those positions where they're around children, where they're trusted by adults with children. They seek those positions to do disastrous deeds with children.
Right. And when you watch the whole thing and you see Oprah's documentary at the end, you're going to hear her speak about exactly that, Scoot. There's actually a guy that stood up in her audience that played for a professional football team, which I don't remember which one it was. He's an older man now. He said he kept his secret for 33 years, and the man who molested him was a cop who walked the beat in his neighborhood years ago. It wasn't in New Orleans. It was another city and another football team, and he said nobody knew about it. He kept that, and it's a haunting, horrible secret and not to tell. And she had many, many men in the audience, and she had asked some of them to stand up, but they didn't have to say anything. And they all basically were saying the same thing, that they were almost like a brainwashing or grooming.
Michael Jackson was very creative in the way that he convinced these young people to think it was okay for them to do what they were doing. And, man, he really used his position of power as an adult. And it's just, it's creepy and it's sickening. Charlene, I appreciate you listening over the years. Glad you're still with me, and I appreciate you calling our show.
And I'm glad you're okay.
I'm okay, Charlene. Glad you called. All right, you know, one group that has not been mentioned, one of the crews that has not yet been mentioned that needs to be mentioned, the crew of sanitation. They clean up this city after every parade. And, you know, the next day after Mardi Gras, you can't even tell that happened, but it did. I'm Scoot. Hang on. We'll be back on WWL. It's over. Time to go home. But guess what? Not everybody actually goes home. From New Orleans, Chris, I got time for a very fast comment because I'm at the end of the show.
Okay. R. Kelly, Michael Jackson, they're not the only dirtbags in the recording and entertainment industry.
Yeah, that's true.
I don't think their music should be banned because I don't think organizations like Spotify or Apple should act as the arbiters of telling people who the heroes and who the villains are. What we need to get out of this is that whether it's a media organization, whether it's a corporation, whether it's a government, the bigger it is, the more of an opportunity there's going to be for overall abuse to happen, whether that's blackmail, sabotage, any sort of negative abuse. And if people don't like what they hear, what's going on with R. Kelly, Michael Jackson, Bill Cosby, all you can really do is have more quality control over how you spend your dollar, how to entertain yourself. Look, you know, research the organizations, buy local, more local, so you have more of an idea of where your money's going to, because relying on someone to be the arbiter, Oprah Winfrey, I mean, really? I mean, look at her schools in South Africa, Charlene. Go Google that.
All right, Chris, I have to let it go there, but I agree with you. I'm gonna revise the use of the word ban when I talk about some of these things, because I don't think they should be banned as much as I think common sense should say don't use this as entertainment. But we're going to talk about banning on the show tomorrow, because now there are reports that radio stations in New Zealand and Canada are banning Michael Jackson songs because of this HBO documentary. Our program director, Diane Newman, thank you for all you do. Todd Manassa, show producer, and our studio producer, Ian Hoke, thank you for being part of our show. I'm Scoot, and we are back tomorrow afternoon, 1 o'clock on WWL.
Oh, O'Reilly. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.